lovely swirling music is from the first movement of the Fourth Symphony of Brahms, a challenging orchestral work for any group of musicians. Well, this Sunday, a group of doctors, dentists, nurses, physios and psychologists will be up on stage at the Melbourne Recital Centre to perform this very symphony. The orchestra is called the Corpus Medicorum, and it's not just doctors, some of their patients are in the orchestra too. Giorgio Moody speaks to the orchestra's founder and one of its most important members.
That was beautiful. Can we go for figure A?
My name's Philip Antipa. I'm a cardiothoracic surgeon at the Royal Melbourne Hospital. Most of my work is in thoracic surgery and in lung cancer care. And I formed this little orchestra about 15 years ago called Corpus Medicorum.
Hi, I'm Sue Bradley, and I'm a professional tuba player, and I nowadays play with one lung thanks to the help of Philip Antipa.
And this is from the first night of the slur.
I'm a viola player, played all my life, National Music Camp, AYO, studied in Melbourne, had a bursary at the Con when I was there, and then started playing again with various bands. So we formed a doctor's orchestra in Australia about 25 years ago and found that most of the good players were in Melbourne, really. I know it's a national show, but here we are. So 15 years ago, we put together Corpus Medicorum with our late first conductor and director, Christopher Martin. And we've been giving three concerts ever since. We raised money for the Royal Melbourne Hospital Foundation, and nowadays we raising funds for patients with lung cancer.
Tell me a little bit about some of the members in Corpus Medicorum.
Look, we're mostly doctors. We are dentists, there's a couple of dental specialists, physiotherapists, nurses, psychologists, and a few ring-ins, just like my special friend Sue Bradley here, who's actually a patient of mine, or was a patient of mine, I should say, because she's now very much cured from lung cancer. And Sue, I met 5 years ago now when she presented with a mass in her lung, and we met over a hot operating table and became very good friends afterwards. And I think I promised her a tuba concerto, if I think were the words correct, and she promised to play. So that's how it's happened, and Sue's become an integral part of the orchestra. I'm not sure whether it's her feeling guilt or me feeling responsible or just want to keep an eye on her or whatever, but here we are. And so Sue acts as our tuba player and librarian.
So Sue, tell me how you got roped into the doctor's orchestra.
I think I roped myself in by managing to catch, as it were, or develop lung cancer 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago to the day, in fact, and promptly came under the knife of Philip here, who did, in fact, promise me a tuba concerto when I got through all this, and I thought he was joking, till he came round to the ward afterwards and said, "Now about that concerto," and I thought, oh, I'd better do some practice. He was deadly serious, and it was physiotherapy, of course. I had to do some practice. I had to learn to breathe again. Otherwise, I was going to make a fool of myself in that concerto, which hopefully I didn't.
So, you're a professional musician, a tuba player. It must have been really bad news when you heard that you were going to have one lung removed.
Well, there was no precedent, no one I could talk to about. So I just assumed that, well, if anyone was going to work out how the heck to do it, it would have to be me. Over the next few months, I did in fact hear of a trumpet player with one lung, and that gave me a lot of encouragement to know it could be done. I really felt I've got no choice here. I've spent 40 years playing orchestral tuba, and if I want to continue doing that, I'm going to have to find other solutions.
And so how do you manage?
I take deeper breaths as much as I can. I do a lot of work on my respiration and working on the musculature of the ribcage. And I'm also experienced enough and sneaky enough to know where I can sneak extra breaths. There's several concerto for tuba these days, a surprising number of them, but there's really only one, and it's by Ray Vaughan Williams. And if there's one piece I've always loved, which is every single note, of course, that Vaughan Williams wrote, but this tuba concerto was premiered the month before I was born, and I've always loved it, although I can't say I heard it at that time in my life. I've played it many a time with the orchestra, and it was the best motivation Philip could have offered, was go home and practice that.
Tell me about the night when you performed it.
Gosh, I don't remember much of it. It seemed to go by in a flash, which means it must have been good fun. Well, one always has a good time, and it was conducted by someone who was very helpful and understood the music. I don't think every conductor does understand Vaughan Williams, but having someone who really appreciated the languid passion of Vaughan Williams made it much easier to play. And, of course, the support of a fabulous orchestra.
Philip, doctors are notoriously overworked, you know, working overtime and being on call. How do you even find time to rehearse?
Oh, I think doctors are over-obsessional, and it's probably mostly their fault rather than being overworked. There's always time for the things that you love. Look, and there's also parallels between, you know, music, people that are good with maths, brains and whatever, and I think partly that's true, but I think, again, it's just if you're obsessional enough to sit there and study a lot and do well and work hard, then that sort of music is one of those things that can do the same. I mean, playing an instrument is a highly, you know, it's a very technical exercise, and you are constantly improving. And it's a very satisfying thing when that shows. I think also one's love and passion for music as a creative outlet is all-encompassing and all-consuming. So when you're playing and you're playing your heart out, there's not much time to think about anything else, which I think is kind of therapy in itself often. You become removed a little bit from the rest of your world. So it's a great thing.
Do you think the qualities that make a good surgeon or a good nurse also feed into making a good pianist or violinist?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I think anyone can be creative and anyone can have a passion for expression and be able to express themselves. The trick with music, and especially with, you know, instrumental music or any sort of instrument, is the ability to have the fortitude to have the technical skills that are required. And I think that takes a lot of patience and a lot of practice. And that's possibly where we select ourselves for that and for the extra rigours and tortures that tubas, violas, oboes can create, and keeping them at a high level. I think also we're our own worst enemy as well, and once you get to a level, you know what's required, and it's often not ever quite good enough. I'm sure there's many of us, and myself included, that thought about a professional career in music. I think probably we chose the easy path, really, and became doctors. I think a career as a musician is probably much tougher, to be honest.
The tune, which is viola and seconds, pianissimo with a hairpin. Ready? Good. Now do it pianissimo. Yeah?
Your last concert for the year is this Sunday. Tell me about the program.
So we're playing the Elgar Sea Pictures with Elizabeth Campbell, and after a short break we'll then tackle Brahms's Mammoth Fourth Symphony with Nicholas Braithwaite conducting.
Philip, you're the head of the viola section. How are things shaping up?
Oh, look, good. Brahms 4 is a big play. You know, anyone that knows the work well know that he put in about 10 times many notes into this symphony than he did just into about just about anything else. So it's tough. It's a tough play. It's probably one of the most challenging things we've played, and it's very demanding. It's almost 45 minutes, and every bit of it you're on the edge of your seat playing your heart out. So it's a great privilege to play such excellent music. The Elgar is just as intense but in a different way. Elizabeth Campbell we have the great pleasure of playing with, and she's a very fine singer, and it's great to play with her. And we have a guest conductor for this concert, Nicholas Braithwaite, who's an Englishman and knows Elgar very well. In fact, he's recorded it with Elizabeth a couple of times with the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra. So they both of them know it intimately. I hope we can do it justice. It's a big program. And we've got a big orchestra, and we're all looking forward to it very much.
Are you feeling ready?
No, not yet. That's what rehearsals are for.
How about you, Sue?
Well, I'm not in the Brahms, unfortunately, because Brahms, in his wisdom, didn't use the tuba for this symphony, which means I have the privilege of sitting backstage and listening to it. However, I have wonderful parts in the Elgar, and I'm really looking forward to playing them.
Corp. Opus Medicorum in rehearsal, and they've been fabulous for 15 years. I've heard them play in the past. Gobsmackingly good. Georgia Moody there speaking to Philip Antipa, who is the cardiothoracic surgeon by day, or one of them, and in his spare time he's the leader of the orchestra's viola section, which means he can read music in that pesky alto clef. And we also heard from Sue Bradley, who is a professional tuba player and one of Philip's patients, and the Corpus Medicorum concert is on at 5 in the evening this coming Sunday at the Melbourne Recital Centre.